I'm going to request her to come closer. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Nahmaduhu wa nusalli wa nusallimu ala rasulihi al-kareem. Amma ba'd. We are discussing hadith number 12, this compilation of 40 hadith. Qala Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, "Ad-du'a silah al-mu'min." Rawahu al-Hakim rahimahullah ta'ala. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Du'a is a weapon of a believer." رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي امري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقهوا قولي سبحانك لا علم لنا الا ما علمتنا انك انت العليم الحكيم اللهم انفعنا بما علمتنا وعلمنا ما ينفعنا وزدنا علما ان الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا ايها الذين امنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعلى اله واصحابه واتباعه وازواجه وذرياته. This hadith, we discussed it in the previous session as well, but in light of recent halat upon the ummah, it is worth discussing it in further detail. Now, the first thing to understand is that in this world, whenever something happens, there are means. There is something that led to that happening. If a person becomes ill, there will be a means to it. He has caught a virus. He went near someone that was ill. A person becomes wealthy, there will be a means to it. He ran a successful business. A person passes in an exam, there will be a means to it. He worked hard. He had the correct teachers who guided him in the correct manner. This world functions like this, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made this world like this. And there is no need to deny the means for anything. These means exist. And naturally, when you have a task in front of you and you have the means available, you have an exam in a week's time, you have all the textbooks, you have the full guidance of you have a good qualified teacher who is very experienced and he has told you exactly how you need to prepare. You have made a full timetable for preparation, your preparation is started as well, and it is on schedule. So you have all the means available. Then naturally you will feel confident about passing the exam. And on the other side, if the means are lacking, either the means are scarce or the means are not there at all. For some reason you don't have the textbooks available. You missed a large portion of the year of the lesson, so you don't have the prior understanding of these topics. So because you don't have the means available, you will not feel so confident about undertaking the task. And this applies everywhere. A person, he is in a country or in a place where there is not so much safety. Alhamdulillah, we are fortunate that we live in a country where on a day-to-day basis, we don't have fear. In general, there is law and order, and this is a great blessing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Many, many countries are in the world where there is not anywhere near the same level of law and order. And when people leave their homes, then there is always that sense of fear that whilst we are traveling, whilst we are going from here to there, whilst we are going on the motorway, something may happen. But if a person is in such a place and he has the means available, he is in his home. There are guards there. There is a fence there, etc., etc. There is surveillance there. A person will, to some degree, he will feel comfortable for his protection. And if the means are not there, then naturally a person will not feel so comfortable. That is the case in everything. Now there are some things which are direct means. There are direct means. For example, I passed my exam. Why did I pass my exam? Because I worked hard. That is a direct means. And there are some things which are indirect means, which if you ponder upon the means, then you will realize that behind that there was something else. For example, I worked hard, but that is why I passed my exam. But I only worked hard because the teacher gave loads of encouragement. So on the face of it, the most important thing seems to be that I worked very hard.
But if a person looks carefully, he will realize that just as important, if not more important, is the thing that made me work hard. A person has a pious upbringing and he grows up to be someone pious. And if you look at the direct means, it may be that, you know, he made a lot of effort. He kept himself safe. But if you look one step behind that, you will see that, for example, it was his parents' tarbiyah. From a very young age, that his parents were very cautious in regards to his tarbiyah. Or he got into contact with an alim, with some institute, with some effort of da'wah or tabligh. And because of that, he got the encouragement to work hard. So behind the means, there is always a means. And that secondary means is just as important. But that secondary means is not immediately obvious. When a person looks, he thinks it's the immediate means that seems the obvious one. And a person has to look carefully to realize that there is something behind him. Like many successful people in the world, they say that, you know, his parents were behind him. That means the people who have looked carefully have realized that yes, he made a lot of effort. But you know what? His parents were the driving force behind him. They were the real means. Now in this world, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, just like he has made worldly means, that if you want to get a task done, there are worldly means. You gather the worldly resources. Similarly, there are deen means as well. For example, if you want to get a task, then you gather all the resources. If you have an exam around the corner, the worldly means are, like we mentioned, you prepare, you take guidance from the correct. In our time, you will, if it is a school exam, college exam, you will look at past papers and this and that. Some people will take extra tuition. And deeni means a person, he makes dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A person, he lives with piety and taqwa with this intention that it will gain the, it will pull the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A person gives charity with the help, with the intention that charity attracts the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So there are worldly means and there are deeni means. Now a key difference between them is that in general, worldly means, they can be the direct means. I worked hard, so I passed. You can see the connection very clearly. Oh, I had all the right preparation, I had the right resources, that led to success, and I can see the link. When it comes to deeni means Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has hidden them behind the veil, that they are not direct. What does that mean? A person, he made lots of dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He made lots of dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala before the exam. And he passed the exam. Now that dua will definitely have had an effect. But the link won't be so obvious. How did that dua lead me to passing the exam? It won't be so clear. But a person, in reality, that dua will definitely have. But how will it have led to his success? For example, because of the dua, Allah ta'ala gave him the tawfiq to make effort. Because of the dua, the result was that those topics which he had studied well, they happened to come in the exam. They happened to come well in the exam. Come in the exam. And those topics which he had some weakness in, it so happened that they didn't come in the exam. So deeni means are extremely important. They don't directly show you the result. So many a time a person can get fooled. He can think it's the worldly means that are doing everything. I became wealthy. How did I become wealthy? Because I made a lot of effort. But it may be possible that behind that there was some deeni means. When a person, for example, he makes the aim of memorizing the glorious Quran. He makes an aim of memorizing the glorious Quran. Then the apparent means is he makes effort, he has a sharp memory. And there are deeni means. And deeni means by and large are the same for everything. A person does those things which attract the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. First and foremost is that a person stays away from the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. With that a person makes dua, he resorts to salah, he gives charity. So that is the apparent means. that a person has a sharp memory. He is able to work hard. But the deeni means that are hidden behind the veil, they are just as important, if not more important. One associate of mine, an alim, who teaches hifz class in another country, he once mentioned an incident that there was a student in our class. And he was in general intelligent, sharp, intelligent, good memory. And but the progress in hifz that we were expecting from him, he never achieved. It was always below expectation for a student of his caliber. The pace at which he was going was well below expectation. So look, the apparent means seem to be there, but the result is not being found. A holiday came, students went, they came back from the holiday. After the holiday, the ustad noticed that this student, mashallah, he is performing up to expectation, and the pace has completely changed. So these days you have to be careful with teenagers. You can't even ask them some things directly. So the ustad didn't ask the teenager, you know, what was the difference? After some time, after a few days, after a few weeks, the student himself said to the ustad that, do you know what has caused the change? Do you know what has caused the change that I am now able to learn? And then he informed the ustad that, I had a habit of listening to music, and in this holiday, I made an intention to leave this habit, and I left this habit. So look, the apparent means were there, but hidden behind the veil, there was a deeni means, which was this sin which was stopping the result from coming about. The sins disappeared, the result came about. So deeni means are more effective than worldly means. Our deen doesn't teach us that don't adopt worldly means. But what our deen does teach us is that whether you have worldly means or available or not, deeni means will do the job. In the battle of Badr, the Sahaba radiallahu anhu didn't have many worldly means available. In terms of weaponry, in terms of numbers, in terms of preparation. Very, if you look at the numbers, it's mind-boggling. Just on the way to the battlefield of Badr, the Sahaba radiallahu anhu, to get there, they were riding on camels, and it was every three people taking turns to ride on a camel. It was one camel between three people, just to get to the battlefield. And whenever you think of a battle, you think of people with weaponry. You think of, past times, you think of people with swords, with shields in the hand. The majority of the Sahaba radiallahu anhu didn't have any weaponry. So the apparent means weren't there. But the deeni means were there. Piety was there. Staying away from the disobedience of Allah was there. Dua was there. And that did the job. So in this hadith, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is trying to teach us regarding one particular deeni means, which is dua, that when you have this deeni means available, then understand, it's just as if you have all the worldly means available. I have all the worldly means available for my exam, so I feel confident. So in the same way, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is saying that for a task you have dua, you should have the same level of confidence. And that is why he says, "Ad-du'a silahul mu'min." Dua is a weapon of a believer. What does that mean? If a person he has to fight against someone, he has to war against someone, and he has weaponry available, he feels confident. He thinks that I have a chance of success. I have what is needed for success. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is saying the same way. Any task, you have dua available. That means you resort to dua. Then understand, have the same level of confidence. Understand that you have the means available to fulfill the task. How this dua will lead you to fulfill the task, only Allah knows. Maybe through the barakah of this dua, weaponry will come from elsewhere. Maybe through the barakah of this dua, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will cast fear into the enemy. Whatever it is. But that dua, that deeni means, will lead you to success. That is what Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said. He is teaching us. And this is the essence of iman. That deeni means, which attract the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, a person realizes they are key. In every single task, a person adopts the worldly means. He goes out to, he needs money, he goes out to earn, so he adopts the worldly means. But in his mind, is this reality embedded that more than that, it's the dini means which attract the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala which are doing the job. The Sahaba radiallahu anhu, by and large, they also adopted worldly means where they had them. Those cases of people leaving worldly means altogether are few. Sometimes you hear that so-and-so person, he didn't used to earn. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala used to provide him from unseen means. And these incidents are there. But majority of the time, this doesn't happen. Majority of the time, pious people, people connected to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Sahaba radiallahu anhu, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they adopted worldly means. But the difference between us and them was, in their heart and mind, this was always embedded, that these worldly means are not what is doing the job. It is the deen means behind them that is making these worldly means effective. These worldly means are not effective if I don't have the deen means available, because the deen means pull the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the deen means, a person should give them just as important, in fact more importance than the worldly means. You are going to war, how much importance would you give to procuring a weapon, making sure I have weaponry available? Utmost importance. In fact, you think, how on earth can I go to a war to fight someone without weaponry? In the same way, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is saying, give dua the same treatment. That how on earth can I undertake this task without dua? So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is teaching us this vital lesson. Now on to the next point. Sometimes it happens that we make a dua, but we don't see the result. We make a dua, but it seems like the result hasn't been achieved. So there are a number of points to understand here. The first point is that when a person makes dua, he's seeking the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He's seeking the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the task. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is much more wise and all-knowing than you and I. So sometimes it happens that we are asking for something, and maybe we think that I need this right now. It is very beneficial for me. I need to pass this exam, and I need to do it next week when the exam is. Not I fail this and then I have to do a reset next year. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, being much more wise, He always knows what's most beneficial for my servant. So sometimes Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when He thinks that yes, my servant is asking for this, it is beneficial for him, He grants it. And sometimes Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows that my servant is asking for this, but at this moment in time, if I give it, it won't be as beneficial as if I give it 1 year later. Musa alayhi salatu wasalam made dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to remove the kingdom of Fir'aun. To remove Fir'aun from this kingdom so that he would stop oppressing people. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said to Musa alayhi salam, قَدْ أُجِيبَتْ دَعْوَتُكُمَا. Your dua has been accepted. فَاسْتَقِيمَا, so remain firm. Carry on what you're doing. Your dua has been accepted by us. Result hasn't been shown yet. Dua has been accepted, but carry on doing what you are doing. And the Mufassirin say that after that, Musa alayhi salam waited 40 years. He waited 40 years. And after 40 years, Fir'aun was destroyed. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said the dua was accepted 40 years ago. So why did it take 40 years? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in His wisdom knew that according to His wisdom, keeping Fir'aun alive for 40 years has more wisdom in it. You and I don't have the wisdom and the knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so we don't understand that. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because He has knowledge and wisdom of everything, He understood, He knew that. So He told Musa alayhi salam the dua is accepted. So many of our duas are the same. They're accepted, but sometimes with a delay. And sometimes they're accepted, meaning Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepts the dua, but He doesn't grant us that exact thing because He knows that that is not the most beneficial thing for us. But we should always resort to dua. Similarly, when adversity, when calamities come upon the ummah, like has come in the past and currently in with the situation in Palestine? Many a time a person makes dua and he may think that the result is not coming. I've made dua so many times, so many people are making dua, result is not coming. So here as well, a person should not think result is not coming. The first thing to understand is many a time result is coming, but we can't see it. We make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because of that, some change happens there. One person's life is saved. One person is granted food as a result of our dua. But we think because our dua is not changing the whole situation, our dua isn't having effect. No, it is having effect. And it is possible because of our dua that the prescribed time for help comes earlier. But a person should never ever feel that my dua is not beneficial. A person should always have yaqeen that no, my dua is beneficial. So, in any task, every task, we should resort to worldly means, yes. With that, we should make a specific pay specific attention to resorting to dini means, and in particular dua. And learn the etiquettes of dua from the ulama. That is a separate topic. Learn those things which prevent our dua from accepted, being accepted. Stay away from them. That is a separate topic altogether. Learn those times in particular when dua is readily accepted. That is a separate. All of these are things that will aid us in our task. But always make a dua. And of course, in this time, especially make a dua for the people in Palestine. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant them relief. In fact, we will end on this. Some ulama, because in reality, helping a Muslim brother when there is no help, when there is no one else to help him, and you have the means to help him, it is compulsory. So some ulama have the opinion that at the moment we don't have many means to help them, but one means we do have, which is dua. So making dua for them regularly in our time is compulsory. That means a person will be taken to task on the day of judgment if he doesn't make dua for them. That I gave you the task of helping your Muslim brothers. There was no one to help them. You did have one avenue of helping them, which was dua. Why didn't you do it? So a person should make a point of making dua for them. And as much as possible from the bottom of his heart. And finally, recently, there was a clip, an audio going on of Hazrat Mufti Taqi Uthmani Hafizahullah. And in that he drew people's attention to one particular dua, which is the dua of Sayyidina Yunus alayhi salatu wassalam. La ilaha illa anta subhanaka inni kuntu min al-zalimin. This is also a dua. And Hazrat Mufti Sahib has mentioned that one of the things which we can do and we should do is we should take some time out. And Hazrat Mufti Sahib said, take 10 minutes out every day. And recite this dua. La ilaha illa anta subhanaka inni kuntu min al-zalimin. However many times you can. And he said that inshallah, through this, At the very least, on the day of judgment, we'll be able to say to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we fulfilled our requirement of making dua to them. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq to make dua in all of our activities, and in particular for the Muslims and the entire ummah. Ameen wa khadawa.
Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله حي على الصلاة حي على الصلاة حي على الفلاح حي على الفلاح الله أكبر الله أكبر لا